This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Is there any path for exoneration of Chad Daybell? Have we gotten this all wrong all along? Is he simply the victim of Lori Vallow Daybell, completely lost his mind, had no choice in the actions that he took? What about his attorney? His attorney, who just the other week, John Pryor, is realizing, supposedly, oh my gosh, this is a capital murder case. I'm not qualified for that. Oh, and I'm not being paid either, so I'd like to leave. Judge said, no to all of that. You are going to be staying on, and you are going to be representing Chad Daybell. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. In a recent one, we were talking about judges being human and getting tired and not having the motivation to try cases, or fairly, sometimes being hangry, if you will, and that affecting outcomes. What do you see here? Is this a big red flag for the representation of Chad Daybell, as difficult as that must be to be the attorney for Chad Daybell? But to have already flat out said, I don't have enough time, even if I work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week leading up to this, I'm still not going to be as prepared as I would like to be. And I'm doing it for free. Those seem to be kind of two big factors that I don't think I'd want my attorney that is arguing for my life or death to have those sort of issues, you know, pulling at them.
Yeah, the first thing that occurred to me is, wouldn't we have seen this coming a long time ago?
Yeah.
You know, I think attorneys, if they're being paid privately, it's like right up front, they want to know, what are your assets here? And can you cover this? Or do you need a public defender? Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, we knew this was going to be a death penalty case. And so if you are not qualified, according to the state of Idaho, to do a death penalty case, don't you say that right up front. Mm-hmm. And I do understand there's a shortage of lawyers thusly qualified in Idaho, and apparently a couple of them are working on the Koberger case. So can they find someone? Mm-hmm. But it just seems awfully late in the game mm-hmm. for these things to be coming up.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about, I guess, motivation here. I don't know John Pryor. I don't know what his thoughts are if, you know, not being paid and representing Chad Daybell is one of those things that would make him just feel that he truly is not qualified to do this and is, you know, going to put your head in the sand and maybe not, you know, mount much of a defense. I mean, that's what happened with Lori Vallow Daybell. I mean, they were paid and they still couldn't mount much of a defense. Mm-hmm. You know, is this something where, you know, he's already raising his hand saying, look, these are issues. These are things that I have problems doing. I don't think I can do it. What kind of issues do you think this is going to raise when it comes to defending him in court in the coming months?
Yeah, it sounds very much like Lori's case. I mean, what is the defense here? And mm-hmm. I think it would be challenging for any lawyer or any team of lawyers. You know, again, we always like that term, mountain of evidence. Mm-hmm. I don't see him skating on this one. Mm-hmm. But it also makes me wonder, if there's a case made, if he were to be convicted, and then would they come back and say he had inadequate representation mm-hmm. here? And that, you know, the lawyer made this very clear. Yeah. He was not up to this task. He was pushed to do it anyway. And, you know, that to me seems like another can mm-hmm. of worms that would be part of it.
Let's talk about the relationship of Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow Daybell. Not that long ago in filing, it was very much laid out that they believe Chad Daybell was pretty much the victim of Lori's. Basically, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, Chad and Alex, Lori's brother, they were just so smitten with her that they would do anything that she wanted them to do. And essentially walking right up to the line of saying, yeah, Chad did these things, but it was Lori's fault. I mean, what kind of a defense is that? We're talking about a psychological defense of saying, yeah, I did it because she told me to and I had no control. I mean, has anything like that ever worked in the history of trials?
Maybe somewhere, sometime, yeah. But I don't think in an extreme case like this, because they were working on their little pseudo cult, mm-hmm. You know, for ages before the murders. He was certainly a leader in that group with these bizarre beliefs. You know, I mean, I can't even go down the list of all the things that were bizarre about their beliefs, you know, and it was really a case where I think the murders were the culmination of the two of them together. Mm-hmm. And that just escalated the level of aggression and craziness and bizarre thinking.
Yeah.
But it's absurd. That defense that Lori made me do it, I think is absolutely absurd. So
is that a reflection on John Pryor and really truly showing how unqualified he is to represent Chad Daybell in a death penalty case? Or is this just a reflection on Chad Daybell of, you got nothing here, my friend?
Yeah, I cannot imagine trying to defend Chad Daybell. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know all the tricks of the trade, but I just don't see any kind of reasonable defense. And so this may just be, you know, something any attorney, this would be the best they can come up with.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.